Blog Talk Radio.
Right off the bat here, we're going to discuss U.S. corruption versus corruption in somewhere else. I'm not going to spoil it right now, but and you're going to see which is worse, which is more systemic, why, and so forth. So I'm really looking forward to that. Dick Cheney's got a new book out. Think Progress wrote an article where they went through, I think, the 9 most ridiculous things about it. I whittled it down to like the 6 that are the most important or something like that. So we'll talk about those. Dick Cheney's being classic Dick Cheney. Very similar to the segment we did the other day where I determined that American exceptionalism and neoconservatism, they're both basically religions. And not just religions, they're fundamentalist religions. So they're, you know, super extreme, very dogmatic. Well, he's kind of sticking to that with his book, no surprise. Then we have later on Chris Christie gets destroyed. People have now realized that when he puts on that harsh tone and he starts to scream at grandmas, it's not because he's telling it like it is, even though I think that's his fucking slogan for his campaign. It's because he's trying to tap dance around his bullshit. Like, he's a guy who, he'll say something one week, the next week he'll say the opposite, and then when you call him out on it, he's like, I didn't say that! We live in the digital age, prick! I don't know what the fuck is wrong with you. Alright, then Bill O'Reilly versus Jorge Ramos gets heated yet again. And I got a lot of Christian nonsense later on in the show. So we have a local judge in Tennessee is refusing to grant a divorce. And we got another guy who, a police officer, who says, yeah, you know why you can never punish police officers? God. So we'll discuss that and much more. Let's kick it off here. And we'll do it with this really, really interesting corruption story. The AFP is reporting on an amazing story coming out of Guatemala. The president is resigning because he's in the middle of a huge scandal. So here's what they say. Quote, embattled Guatemalan President Otto Perez announced his resignation Thursday after a warrant was issued for his arrest for allegedly masterminding a huge fraud scheme. The conservative leader, in power since 2012, decided to step down to confront the proceedings against him. All right, so this is, big news here. So what exactly is it that he did? They continue. Investigators accused Perez of running a scheme in which businesses paid bribes to dodge taxes on their imports, defrauding the country of millions of dollars. All right, now, when I read that, I think a lot of people rightly react and they respond by going, oh, that's kind of fucked up. So he's corrupt, he was engaging in bribery, he was giving favoritism to certain businesses over other businesses, and that's not the way a government's supposed to function. Yeah, the guy should step down, and yeah, the guy should be brought up on charges. I think that's a fairly rational, normal response. But why is this such tremendous news? This is standard operating procedure in the United States of America. So just to give you some examples, again, they're upset about favoritism. They're upset about corruption. Well, we have, in 2010, for example, we had many corporations not only pay no taxes after lobbying the government, they paid negative tax rates. So what is that? That's exactly what it sounds like. Instead of paying nothing, they actually net receive money from the government in the form of a corporate welfare check or a subsidy. So let me give you some specifics. In the year 2010, Yahoo, giant corporation, paid negative 9.6% in taxes. Honeywell paid negative 38.7%. Verizon paid negative 6%. DuPont paid negative 11.5%. And get this, General Electric paid negative 64%. Every single one of these corporations gives a lot of money to congressmen and gives a lot of money to presidential candidates and virtually everybody. We have a system in the United States of America of open bribery. Not only that, corporate tax havens stiff the government $110 billion every single year in America. Every year! I just told you, in Guatemala, they said it was millions. They said the government missed out on millions of dollars because of this bribery and this corruption where the president did favoritism and helped certain companies. The government missed out on millions in Guatemala. Their president resigns and is facing charges. In the U.S., it's standard operating procedure under Republican and Democratic administrations where $110 billion a year is lost. That the government should have, but it's lost because multinational corporations hide the money overseas in tax havens. Did you know there's one address in the Cayman Islands that has over 18,000 businesses located there? It's a clear scam. I mean, it's an obvious scam. It's a fraud. But again, in the U.S., it's standard operating procedure. What the main difference is that in Guatemala, it was as direct as could be. So businesses went right to the president and said, we're going to give you X amount of money if you do X, Y, and Z for us. In the U.S., it's systemic, and it's implicit in the campaign contributions. Notice the difference. They don't have to directly say, I want this, this, and this. They don't have to do that. And also, they just give it through a campaign system. So they might give it to their super PAC, or they might give it to their campaign, or they find a variety of different ways to give them the money. But since we've sugarcoated it a little bit, people act like the Supreme Court. They say, this not only is this not corruption, this isn't even the appearance of corruption. Right. So Wall Street gives the most in terms of campaign contributions, and when they crash the economy because of their bad decisions, they get a bailout. But that has nothing to do with the money the politicians got, I'm sure. Meanwhile, you know, mom and pop small businesses all around America, middle class people, they get kicked out of their houses, they go bankrupt, the government goes, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, that's capitalism. So socialism for the rich, rugged capitalism for the middle class and the poor. It's a giant scam. The way the U.S. economy functions, the way the government functions, it's all legalized bribery. We covered the Princeton study not too long ago, and we've brought it up time and time again. That proved that public opinion in America has had zero effect on the policies we get from 1980 and onward. Zero. There's no effect. What the middle class and the poor want, what the majority of the American people want, we never get it. And if we do happen to rarely get it, it's not because we wanted it. It's because some, you know, corporation or some billionaire decided, hey, I want this now, so let's try to get this. And let's be clear, there's a perfect correlation between what the rich want and what the corporations want and what they end up getting in terms of policy. So don't get me wrong. I'm not saying Guatemala doesn't have other problems. I'm sure they have tremendous problems, and I think we've covered many of them on the show. So I'm not saying they're a utopia and we're the worst of the worst of the worst. Of course not. But what I am saying is, on this particular issue, corruption, money, and politics, they're not as bad as we are, but there were tremendous consequences for people engaging in that kind of activity. Whereas here in the U.S., we're so used to it, we barely even discuss it anymore. We barely even bat an eyelash. The only people covering it are, you know, some fringe groups, Move to Amend, Tom Hartman, the radio host, covers it. Cenk, of course, and TYT, they cover it. They've set up Wolfpack. And us, and maybe some, you know, other liberal websites. That's it. Nobody's really covering it in any serious way. So it's on us to make a change. It's on us to do something about it. You know, a while ago we did a shirt drive for Secular Talk, and we donated the money to Wolfpack. If you want to get involved, you can do the same thing and go to wolf-pac.com, or you could sign up and actually help fight and be boots on the ground, essentially, in order to get this done in the states that they need help. I don't know all the specifics. I don't know all the details, but if you visit the site, I'm sure it'll lay it out for you. Okay. Next, Dick Cheney.
Oh, I don't know why I'm...
I thought I had a clip there, but I don't. Dick Cheney released a ridiculous new book called Exceptional. In the book, he argues for the fundamentalist religion of American exceptionalism and neoconservatism. If you don't know why I'm calling it a fundamentalist religion, you should check out the segment we did on this the other day when I was responding to Cheney's Wall Street Journal op-ed. But Think Progress put together a list of the dumbest parts of the book, and I wanted to go through them with you. So first, he says that kids need to be taught in school that the dropping of nukes on Japan was unambiguously 100% correct and moral. So let me read you a portion of it here. Quote, our children should know about the boys of Pont du Hoc and Doolittle's Raiders, the Battle of Midway and Iwo Jima. They should learn about the courage of the young Americans who fought the Nazis at the Battle of the Bulge and the Japanese at Okinawa. They should learn why America was right to end the war by dropping the atomic bombs on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and about the fundamental decency of a nation that established the Truman Doctrine, the Marshall Plan, the Berlin Aircraft, and the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. They need to know about the horror. Okay, so is it true that some of those things are good things? Absolutely. I mean, the Marshall Plan was fantastic. Other things here are more debatable, like NATO, and there's less of a reason for that today compared to the past, I would argue. And the idea of, hey, it was noble to fight the Nazis. Absolutely. Absolutely. I said time and time again, I would have done World War II because Hitler was a maniac and he was declaring war on everybody. And he declared war on the U.S. I would have gotten involved. I would have fought that war for sure. And I would have justified it purely on defensive grounds. But the idea that there's not a debate, like that's it. The dropping of the nukes was fantastic. Why don't you go into more detail about that, big guy? Why don't you talk about how over 100,000 people were killed immediately? Why don't you talk about the fact that the overwhelming majority of them were civilians? In fact, we were targeting civilians. Why don't you talk about that? Why don't you talk about the fact that today, historians, if you talk to them, many of them say that it was unnecessary. Truman was off his rocker, and he wanted to flex some muscle and show the world that we mean business and that we're the serious ones. And according to some people, they say Japan was actually trying to surrender beforehand. But we did it either way. Not only that, I mean, the firebombing that we did as well. It's not like we didn't target civilians. We did target civilians. Now, some people argue, hey, you needed to do that in order to win the war, and, you know, it was the right thing to do. I'm of the radical belief that you should only target on purpose people who are the actual enemy. So if you're fighting the Nazis, you try to only get the Nazis. If you're fighting the Japanese military, you try to only get the Japanese military. Now, there might be some military experts out there that say, well, they can't win like that, man, can't win. I don't know. We'd have to do a test where we try my moral way of fighting a war versus somebody's immoral way of fighting a war and see what happens. But this idea that there is no gray area, that's just not true. The idea that everybody knows it was the right thing. No, you look like a silly person who's trying to rationalize the actions of your government. No matter what. So you're working backwards from the conclusion of we were right, now let me try to fill in the blanks and make the case. And I'm not really concerned about truth and letting the evidence pile on itself until it points to a conclusion. I start with my conclusion and then work backwards. And that's Dick Cheney 101, essentially. So that's pathetic. Then we have the part where Cheney says that we should resume torture. Yes, Dick, great idea. He says, reinstitute the enhanced interrogation program and stop releasing terrorists from Guantanamo. We should continue the aggressive use of drones to kill terrorists, and we should... I love how he just thinks, that's it, we're only getting terrorists, that's a fact. No, we're not. We're killing many civilians, but you don't give a fuck about that. He says, and we should supplement that program with equally aggressive efforts to capture and interrogate them. We need intelligence to win this war, and that requires effective interrogation. There may be instances where intelligence necessary to prevent attacks cannot be obtained using only Army field manual techniques, in other words, torture. we should torture, is what he's saying. In addition, we need to keep enemy combatants off the field of battle, and that requires detaining them. Detainees who have been released from Guantanamo have returned to the battlefield. Okay. I like how he's leaving out all of the facts that contradict his bullshit argument. Like the fact that recently we learned virtually everybody at Guantanamo, they're not Al-Qaeda. They're not Muslim fundamentalists. In fact, we learned that we cut deals with the Pakistani government and the Afghani government, and we said, hey, send us people who are bad people because we're angry about 9/11. This happened directly after 9/11. And they would just round up whoever the fuck they wanted and ship them to us and would laugh and as we fucking take them in and start torturing them and shit. They would pick their enemies, even if their enemies, you know, were not Muslim fundamentalists and were not affiliated with Al-Qaeda. For fuck's sake, we know that over 20% of the people that we tortured didn't do anything wrong. They were totally innocent. I mean, this guy, man, he honestly, he's bordering on being a Nazi. The only difference between Dick Cheney and a Nazi is that the Nazis were upfront about the fact that they're trying to, you know, implement out-and-out racist anti-Semitic policies. They want to kill everybody who's not of pure Aryan blood, which was made up, by the way. And, you know, they're fighting to create that world. Dick Cheney might not be trying to eliminate the Jews or eliminate gypsies or black people or whatever, but in terms of the way he thinks and the policies he wants to enact, it's as sloppy as you could get. The way he thinks is, me, American, good. Anybody else, bad. And then he's, I'm pro-torture. I'm pro-offensive wars against countries that didn't attack us. I want to continue to subjugate people and hold them without any rights and bomb them with drones, and anybody who I bomb by definition is a terrorist because I say so, even if they're not a terrorist. The guy is just a fundamentally bad person, man. All right, then we have the part where he says, if you dislike NSA spying, visit the memorial at the World Trade Center. Oh. Because, you know, it's those liberals who use emotional arguments all the time. Not conservatives. This is like the definition of an emotional argument. Go to the World Trade Center, see that people died, and then shut your eyes and let the government do whatever the fuck it wants to respond to that, even if it's really not protecting you. That's the most emotional argument I've ever seen. He's saying, get emotional. Go to the World Trade Center and get emotional. He says, as we write this today, Congress has diminished the authorities of the NSA to track terrorist phone calls. No, they haven't. Some members have launched campaigns to end the program entirely. Military historian Max Boot has suggested that those who advocate shutting down the NSA program would do well to tour the 9/11 Memorial and Museum at the site of the World Trade Center. It is a powerful reminder of the enemy we face and the importance of doing all we can do to stop them. Okay. So, in other words, Constitution, smonstitution, when you're scared. Get rid of the Fourth Amendment. They act like the government cannot track anybody under any circumstances if civil libertarians get their way. That's not true. What we say is get a fucking warrant. So you think somebody's guilty. You think somebody's going to do terrorism. Why do you think that? There's got to be evidence. There's got to be a reason why you think that, right? So if you present that to a judge and the judge says, I see where you're coming from. You now have a right to look at this person's private stuff. That's fine. That's what we're in favor of. But what they want to do is get rid of the oversight. Get rid of the judge. Get rid of the independent third party. Say, just let NSA officials do whatever they want, because we know they're not going to abuse that, right? Even though that's exactly what they did. We've covered all the stories, man. They were spying on boyfriends and girlfriends so much that they had a fucking name for it. They call it Love Int. So if you were dating an NSA, you know, person, you bet your ass you've had all your private shit has been searched through, because there's such a lack of oversight that they just do whatever the fuck they want. They look at whoever the fuck they want. All right, and then finally, I'll leave you guys with this one on this story. He goes to bring up three perennial falsehoods that he loves to repeat. The Iran nuke deal would lead to nuclear war. The Iraq war was great until Obama screwed it up. And Gitmo is awesome. So again, let's go through this. Gitmo is awesome. Yeah, like I said, almost everybody there at this point is innocent. We know there's no evidence whatsoever of their guilt. We know we got them through ridiculous means because we cut deals with Pakistan and Afghanistan, and they sent us whoever the fuck they wanted. The Iran nuke deal will lead to nuclear war. My ass it will. The whole purpose of it is that it will not. Now, I brought this up the other day, but when Dick Cheney says that, I fear the worst, man. I fear that what he's really arguing for is, well, if I had my way, I would be the one to start the nuclear war. So might it lead to nuclear war? Yeah, because a crazy fucker like Dick Cheney in America, if a neocon gets elected again, they might actually do a nuclear war because of a peace deal. So you're the threat, tough guy. I mean, don't get me wrong. The right wing in Iran is bad. The right wing in Israel is bad. The right wing in the U.S. is bad. But you're the one that's threatening nuclear war. You're the one that's saying, no, 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 I might actually do it. See, the difference between Iran threatening Israel or Iran threatening America is that they can't actually back up those claims. You want to know why? They don't have the capacity to do it. Their military budget is fucking puny. We probably spend more in a week than they spend all year on military budget. Israel, too, is much bigger than Iran, their military spending. They're all talk and no action. They can't act. Whereas you, Dick Cheney, you've proven that you will act. Not only that we can act, you did. So you're musing out loud about nuclear war. I mean, you're the problem. And then, finally, the Iraq war was great until Obama screwed it up. How many times have we been through this? The reason he says that is because, in his mind, no matter what the Bush administration did, it was right. And I mean that quite literally. When they did the surge, violence went up. And then they said, oh, that proves it's working. Then when violence went down, they said, see, it's working. Then it would go back up, and they'd go, see, it's working. So in other words, no matter what happened in Iraq when you were in power, you said, that's right, it's working. Because anything you do is so precious and so special because mommy says you're so special. I mean, that's what it comes down to. A guy like Dick Cheney is not only immoral and unethical, he's a child. A man-child was vice president of the United States of America and was acting more like president because Bush is an idiot who was a puppet for Cheney. So this is, you know, Dick Cheney, piss the fuck off, man. We're done with your nonsense. I mean, it's one thing, like, there's always, if you notice, libertarian movements, paleo-conservative movements, they never go away completely. Why? Because they're not, I mean, as much as I might disagree with many aspects of it, it's not like they don't have a point in some ways when they talk about small government, not just socially, but also fiscally. There's an argument to be had there, so there's something that's appealing to that. Neoconservatism, there's not much inherently appealing about that. You're going to get, you know, based on the merits of the belief system itself, you're going to get much less people, much fewer people who buy into neoconservative conservatism compared to libertarianism or paleoconservatism. Because there's not, I mean, it's hard for, you have to be a little off your rocker already to believe that, you know, we should be policing the world and using military strength no matter what, even though we've proven we suck with it. Like, you got to be a little crazy to kind of buy into that. So that's why there's so few neo. I mean, go try to find somebody today who self-identifies as a neocon. Good luck, man. Good luck. It's almost across the board used as a slur now. When somebody calls somebody a neocon, it means like, ah, fucking neocon. Right? So we've gotten to a point where it's rightly kind of smeared, but a guy like Dick Cheney can't fucking help himself. You know, he's like a Christian fundamentalist or a Muslim fundamentalist. That, you know, they get on their soapbox and they say things that are just absurd. They'll attract some people, but over time, that idea, that argument is not going to win. You want to know why? Because people like me exist who are going to call you out on your absolute bullshit. All right. Let me do one more real quick, then we'll take our first break. The PBS NewsHour host, Gwen Ifill, is coming under fire for daring to criticize Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. So after the news that the Iran deal would likely pass, Gwen tweeted the following. Take that, BB. Ooh, man, how harsh is she? You guys should see some of my tweets on Netanyahu. I said he's Hamas's best friend because he makes them more popular. I mean, the list goes on and on of the shit that I said about him. That's true, but many people would say, oh, I'm so offended. Anti-Semite. You're a fucking anti-Semite. You disagree with anything that Netanyahu or the right wing in Israel has ever done? Anti-Semitic. So PBS ombudsman, which is a hilarious word, Michael Gettler, flipped out over this. He wrote in his column that Ifill's tweet was a, quote, self-inflicted wound and unbecoming of a journalist. After her tweet, quote, quickly produced a lot of angry emails in the ombudsman, funny word again, inbox. He wrote Ifill to ask for an explanation. He was so outraged, he's like, I must talk to her. I must write this wrong. They say Gettler added that he wasn't buying Ifill's excuse that she was just summarizing Obama's views. By the way, I don't buy that either. You weren't summarizing it. You were saying, fuck you, Netanyahu. But I think you're right to say that. Quote, one would have to lean way over backwards to give her the benefit of the doubt that she was simply shedding light on the administration's view of portions of Netanyahu's arguments. But to personalize it by saying, take that, Bibi, is, in my book, inexcusable for an experienced journalist who is the co-anchor of a nightly news program watched by millions of people over the course of any week. Calm down, Sparky. You ready for the plot twist here? This is the kicker. This is the cherry on top. This was part of her tweet. For everybody listening on the live show, so it said, take that, comma, BB, and then she had this graphic here. It says, under the framework of an Iran nuclear deal, Iran's uranium enrichment pathway to a weapon will be shut down. And then it explains, what's that word I'm looking for again? Facts. It says, without the deal, there's resumed production of highly enriched uranium, no limits on stockpile of enriched uranium, an unlimited increase and advancement of centrifuges. So remember Benjamin Netanyahu's goofy cartoon-looking bomb where he's like, they're 7 minutes away from a bomb! Now, he's been saying that since fucking 1982 or whatever, and that's not true. But come to find out, when we did this deal, and according to the IAEA, they weren't trying to create a bomb. They've said that time and time again. But when you look at it, they had the capacity, they had the capability to do it fairly quickly. But now as a result of this deal, with the deal, they say, quote, no production or a stockpile of highly enriched uranium, gone. Low enriched uranium stockpile reduced by 98% and capped. And by the way, that means they're only able to have enriched uranium for purposes of scientific research and power for their power grid. But that's still not enough for BB. And then it also says centrifuges reduced by 2/3. So these are facts. Before the deal, way worse. After the deal, much better. So when she says, take that, BB, what she's saying is, hey, it's a success for world peace. It's a success if you actually want to limit Iran's nuclear program. It's a success across the board. And I, as an objective journalist, can point this out and say, that guy's wrong about the deal, and this guy's right about the deal. Ooh, but we live in this PC environment now where there's some sacred cows in American media. God forbid you ever criticize Benjamin Netanyahu or the Israeli government. You're immediately wrong and denounced. Could you imagine if she said, take that, Abbas, in a different context, and there was some graph about showing, you know, Abbas was factually wrong about something? Would there be any anger anywhere? Nobody would be angry. Nobody would fucking bat a fucking eyelash. Are you kidding me? Are you kidding? She'd probably get promoted if she said that. Even if she said, take that, Obama, and it was something where Obama was factually wrong, there might be a little bit of a backlash, but it's her job. She's a journalist. You're supposed to fact check. But no, when it's fact checking, the great prime minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu, know your fucking place. It's one thing to criticize President Obama. It's one thing to criticize the Palestinian leaders. Netanyahu never, ever, ever criticize him. This is fucking absurd. Fuck this neutrality horseshit where, you can't ever come to a conclusion. You can't ever make a judgment if you're a journalist. No, neutrality is not objectivity. Your job as a journalist is not to be neutral. Your job is to be objective. And sometimes objectivity means Jim fucking Inhofe is totally wrong about climate change, throwing a snowball in the Senate. Are you kidding me? That guy's an idiot. He's wrong. The studies prove it. The liberals are right on that. You can say, oh my God, you're not being neutral, you're being biased. If it's biased in any direction, it's biased towards the facts. And to be against Netanyahu on this is to be biased towards the facts. In other words, not biased at all. The people who are really biased are everybody who's getting their fucking panties in a bunch because a journalist dares to do their goddamn job. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we got Chris Christie and we got Bill O'Reilly versus Jorge Ramos. Stay right there.
Thank you. like me? Did you pour that motherfucker down the drain like me? Would you use your water bill to dry the stain like me? Are you high enough without the Mary Jane like me? Do you kill yourself apart to entertain like me? Do the people whisper about you on the train like me? Saying that you shouldn't waste your pretty face like me. And all the people say,
you can't wake up, this is not a dream. You're part of a machine, you are not a human being. We should think for it all, living on a dream. It's the lowest of the dream, so you run on gasoline. People say,
you can't live but this is not a dream. You're part of a machine, you are not a human being. You should think for it all, living on a dream. It's the lowest of the dream, so you run on gasoline.
Everybody. Alright, shut that off, bitch. Alright, there we go. We're good. Let's get to an interesting Chris Christie story here. God, he was destroyed by these people. So much credit to them. The YouTube channel Next Gen Climate New Hampshire caught Chris Christie in an awesome lie. So you're going to get a great example here of how Chris Christie functions.
On August 4th, here in New Hampshire, at one of our town meetings, it says that humans contribute to climate change by breathing.
No, I
couldn't. Do you really believe that humans exhaling carbon dioxide contribute to climate change?
Listen, give my microphone back.
Chris. You know, they destroyed him so badly, I almost felt bad for him there. Now, I didn't. I didn't. But the dude is at like 1% in the polls right now in the GOP primary. And he just got fucking shit on by an organization that's doing the right thing here. Ooh, that's tough to watch. See, here's the thing. Chris Christie likes to fancy himself a straight shooter. In fact, I think his slogan is like, tell him it like it is. But Chris, you're not a straight shooter if everything you say is false. See, he's the kind of guy where, because of the way he says stuff, he wants you to think like, oh yeah, there's some Chris Christie truth again. But just because you go to the New Jersey boardwalk and scream at grandmothers, just because you berate people who ask legitimate questions, just because you have a sharp tone and you're aggressive, doesn't mean that therefore everything you're saying is accurate. As we see right here, you were completely wrong as you put on this facade. I know what I said. I'm 110% sure of what I said. I never said that. I never said that. And see, the thing is, back in the day, before we were able to record everything these people say, a lot of people would have just thought, I guess he's right. I mean, he really is very confident about this, almost to the point of arrogance. He's so sure of himself that he must be right, because the other person is kind of meekishly presenting something and asking a question slash saying, hey, why did you say this? So it's almost like, you know, without the context here, you just default to, I guess he's right, straight shooter Chris Christie. But no, virtually everything he says is false. So forget about the way he says it. That's irrelevant. Same thing goes for Donald Trump, too. Let's not forget that. Donald Trump has a way of talking where he's very confident and he appears to be a straight shooter. But then when you actually, you know, look at fact checkers and what they say about him, even fact checkers who are more biased to lean right and do the fake neutrality game, even they're like, yeah, Donald, you're wrong about pretty much everything. Zero comments in his PolitiFact file were rated true. Zero comments were rated mostly true. That's insane. That's insane. See, that's the thing, man. And the right, they don't care nearly as much about facts as the left does. That's not to say the left is perfect, but the reality is all the things that the right accuses the left of doing is what they do. So they always say about the left, oh, you guys are emotional little babies. You know, you make all your decisions based on mushy feel-goodness. It's never about the hardcore truths. Well, that's what the right's doing. They look at somebody like Donald, oh, he's so strong, he's such a strong leader, he must be right. I'm not saying this because my emotional needs are now met. That's exactly why you're saying it, clowns. So just to give you some more examples here. Chris Christie, as he pretends like, I'm a tough guy on terrorism, I know what I'm doing. This is the guy who cares about terrorism. He took pieces of the Twin Towers and gave them to his donors. Who does that? That's what Chris Christie did. You know what else he did? He took FEMA money that was supposed to go to the most damaged districts in New Jersey after Hurricane Sandy. He gave them out according to who did political favors for him, who supported him when he was running for office. So, in other words, if you're from a district that wasn't nearly as damaged by FEMA money, that's further inland, you might get more money than a Democratic district which is, you know, right on the water, which got wrecked. So he does it all based on political favors. And also, look at the way he said what he said here. I mean, this is exactly how he was denying the whole Bridgegate thing, right? I had nothing to do with it. You have no evidence. That's not true. That's not right. Yeah, I'm sure, buddy. We all see how good you are at spewing falsehoods in terms of how confident you can mask your nonsense, how confidently you can mask your nonsense. I don't buy it. The Republican primary voters apparently are not buying it. In your case, they buy it with Donald Trump. But it looks like, you know, you're TikTok. You're running out of time here, and you're going to have a humiliating and embarrassing defeat in the Republican race. Who knows? Maybe you make a little run. That's yet to be seen. But as of right now, it doesn't look good. And the more stuff like this comes out, ooh, the more you're going to drop even more in the polls, somehow below 1%. All right, next. All All right, let's go to Bill O'Reilly and Jorge Ramos. This is an interesting back and forth. Bill O'Reilly spoke to Jorge Ramos, and he went after him for the way he does his job.
You have a huge problem with 11 million undocumented immigrants.
And we can deal
who
with
are
it.
Not, who are not criminals, who are not rapists, and therefore we have to find a solution.
And
you might
have
like
to
the
pay
solution,
a
but what you are proposing, it isn't going to work, Bill.
All right, I'm not for mass deportation, and you know it. All right, now, you're an anchorman. How can you possibly cover illegal immigration fairly when you're an activist, when you're a proponent of allowing them amnesty? How can you possibly cover the story? You should excuse yourself from it or recuse yourself from it.
I'm just a reporter,
like me, a commentator.
I'm just a reporter.
You're not.
Asking questions.
You're an activist.
Mr. Riley, I don't think you are the right person to lecture me on advocacy and journalism when you spend most of your program.
I'm a commentator. That's what I do.
Without asking questions, I can be tough with President Barack Obama and I can be tough with Donald Trump. But most of the time,
people can decide
you're
for themselves.
With Republicans.
They can watch your interview with Obama and they can watch my interview with Obama, and I'll tell you what. My interview
great.
Was 100 times harder.
Now, Jorge.
Why don't you just become
Bill?
Like me, a commentator? You're not a newsman anymore. You're an advocate now.
I am simply a reporter asking questions.
Oh,
but sometimes, as a reporter, you have to take a stand when it comes to racism, discrimination, corruption,
right.
Public lies, dictatorships, and human rights. You have to take a stand, and that's the only thing I'm
Nobody
doing.
Nobody has ever been in a repertorial range like you have been in. I'm not criticizing you for your stand. I'm saying you're in the wrong job.
Bill O'Reilly refuses to acknowledge that facts may point people in a certain way to policy conclusions, and you can still be an objective journalist and come to conclusions that end up being considered left-wing. For example, if you want to talk about climate change, to pretend like it's 50-50 or to say it doesn't exist, neither one of those things are accurate. Neither one of those things are objective. So if you're really being an objective reporter, if you're really being a journalist, what you'd say is, it's absolutely happening, it's absolutely man-made, and we need to act on it, and this is based on what the scientists are saying, and I am a medium for that information, I am reporting on that information, and here are the policy conclusions, and here are the proposals that should be done. Now, you can do all that, but what would Bill O'Reilly say? He'd go, just say you're an activist, you're an activist, you're an activist. No, in that case, you would be factual. You would be objective. Now, there are shows like mine, for example, where I give a lot of facts, but then also I admit that, hey, this is in the U.S. at least, it's considered a liberal talk show or a progressive talk show or whatever. But there are plenty of examples of people like Jorge Ramos where he'll give facts, sometimes point to policy conclusions. And he's not a liberal talker. He's not a progressive talker. He's somebody who is much more simply being objective, simply doing the job that Bill O'Reilly is supposed to do. So another example of this is, in the back and forth with Donald Trump, what did Jorge Ramos say? He said, Mr. Trump, you can't just take the sons and daughters of undocumented immigrants and ship them out. You just can't do that. And so Bill O'Reilly would look at that and say, oh, activist! Liberal, progressive, activist. What's the reality? Jorge Ramos is simply saying, based on the Constitution of the United States of America, the 14th Amendment, this is not an open question. This is as big of an open question as slavery is today. If we have birthright citizenship in America. Now, it's one thing if Donald Trump says, hey, I think we should do a constitutional amendment to change that. But that's not what he says. He says, I think we can today, without changing anything, I think we could ship out all the sons and daughters of undocumented immigrants who were born in America, who are just as American as any other American. So when Jorge Ramos says, hey, Mr. Trump, you're factually incorrect, what he's doing is his fucking job, Bill O'Reilly, whereas you don't do your job nearly as much. Now, that's actually a bad example because you have to give credit to Bill O'Reilly. He did call out Donald Trump on that issue specifically when it comes to the 14th Amendment. But what Bill O'Reilly refuses to recognize is that virtually all the criticisms Jorge Ramos has of Donald Trump, it stems from a place of caring about the facts. So Jorge Ramos gave to Donald Trump the numbers on, Mr. Trump, you want to build a wall, but you don't understand that there's X amount of people who are undocumented immigrants who come in here via plane and then they stay here. So again, when Jorge Ramos points that out, Bill O'Reilly goes, liberal activist, not journalist, he would say, liberal activist, progressive talker or whatever. But you're not acknowledging the fact that when he says, Mr. Trump, that plan makes no sense for reasons X, Y, and Z, he's bringing up counterarguments that are factual. And then Donald Trump proceeds to say, and I'm not kidding about this. He goes, I don't believe you. No, but see, that's why we need Jorge Ramos, because Jorge Ramos is the only guy who will say, it doesn't fucking matter if you don't believe me or not. These are the numbers. People who know a fuckload more than you who worked on this came up with this information, and you just swipe it aside because you have a fucking meerkat on your head. No, see, this is why we need people like Jorge Ramos, and that's the sad thing, man, is that Bill O'Reilly refuses to understand and refuses to recognize that journalists who are doing their fucking job are going to appear very liberal. Because as Stephen Colbert said, reality has a well-known liberal bias. And then also, Bill O'Reilly's great, where now he pretends like, see, he knows he can't win that argument, so he completely concedes it. Where he's like, just say you're like me, I'm a commentator. Oh yeah, Bill, I'm sure, your entire career on Fox News, that's what you've said all along. I'm a conservative talker, I'm a commentator. You don't say that. In fact, your fucking show, you call it the No Spin Zone. The No Spin Zone. What happened to, I'm a commentator, people know where I'm coming from. No, if you people knew where you were coming from, you'd call it the Far Right Zone. The Right Spin Zone. That's what you would call it. You call it the No Spin Zone, and oftentimes when they lead into your show, they play the thing on Fox where it says, fair and balanced. That's the opposite of what you say you are. So what Bill O'Reilly's saying, it's all projection. It's all, you know, things that he's guilty of, he's projecting onto Jorge Ramos. And since Jorge Ramos actually gives a shit about the facts, he makes it seem like you can't trust him. He believes in facts, and that's biased. Okay, next. Whew. Now, randomly, we're going to go to Fox, where there's a little bit of a fight here. The public high school in Georgia, Villarica High School, had a mass baptism before a football game. Remember, public high school. So some civil rights groups came forward to remind them, you're not allowed to do that. Sorry. Doesn't matter what you think about it. That's unconstitutional. You can't do it. So Fox and Friends heard about this. They did a segment. And out of nowhere, it gets heated. Brian Kilmeade, one day of the year is his quota. He decided to make sense. And watch the back and forth at the very end here between Hasselbeck and Kilmeade, because there's like some underlying tension there. You're going to see it. Take a look.
Okay, so there's one coach right now who is coming under fire. The school is being investigated. The entire football team had a mass baptism, and one atheist group is now demanding action. The coach right here is in Georgia. He actually baptized right there himself, and then his team decided to follow him. His First Baptist Villarica posted the video first. It was seen by a ton of people, and this right now is the cause of much critique from those who don't believe.
Man, I mean, I went back and as reviewing this, first of all, it was voluntary. It was done before practice.
It was.
A group called Freedom From Religion Foundation is challenging this. The Baptist Church, this coach was involved. And I just went back and, I don't know, read the First Amendment. It turns out that Congress shall make no law establishing it or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. When I see something like this, it's a beautiful expression of faith on a voluntary basis.
Well, the Freedom From Religion Foundation sent a letter to the Carroll County School District there with the Villarica High School's actions, calling them quite the opposite, demanding that some statement be made. You know, it's interesting. When you're baptized, it is an act of will, right?
Yeah.
So you can't necessarily force someone to give their heart. You must give your heart over to the Lord, and I bet many of those kids would not say that they were forced to do so. What do you think?
I don't know. I mean, the thing is, with a team that tells you to wear the same thing, show up and eat the same stuff, and make sure you show up at the same time and do everything together and prove that you're going to be part of a larger group, if the group decides to go and get baptized, it
to put your hand up and say, I'm going to go sit against the wall at the beginning of maybe not being a part of the team. There could have been pressure there. Personally, I'm stunned that a football team would do something.
I mean, football teams pray all the time, though. So the other side of this is so many teams get together and pray before they go out there. I mean, I don't know an NFL team that Tim was on that didn't pray before they took the field.
How many got baptized?
There were about 18 baptized. I mean, that was the argument that the opposition was making, that there's peer pressure, but it sounds like it was voluntary. It was before practice.
Yeah.
It's just part of a long religious tradition.
The rosters are way more deep than 18, so the majority of the team seems to have not been baptized if you go on numbers alone.
Right. I just think it's inappropriate. You could be the most fervent Christian, you're there to play sports, come together as a team. I don't think you should be getting baptized before or after an event.
But what argument are you going to make? Oh, no, my kid loves God and is going to love other people?
Well, you're playing football or you're going to church?
Well, hey, if you were said, let us know what you think. We're friends at
FoxNews.com. Oh, shit. Did you catch Elizabeth Hasselbeck's face there? When Brian Kilmeade gets the last word and she's, like, sitting there with the angry face and then she has to put on the fake Fox News smile again real quick, she's like, you could tell that when they were prepping, actually, I don't know if this is true because I have no clue if they fucking do prep at all. They might just read from the teleprompters. But if they had spoken about this beforehand, Kilmeade definitely was like, I don't know if I like this one. This one might go a little too far. And Hasselbeck was like, war on Christians! Christian persecution! It's so amazing how they get to force Christianity down everybody else's throat, and then if you dare to make a slight little peep of disagreement, Brian Kilmeade, who's just hugely on the side of right-wing causes and Christianity and all that stuff, just a tiny little peep of disagreement, they're like, oh, traitor! How dare you! I mean, they want to turn every single thing in society into a bastion of Christendom. I mean, that's what it is. We're talking about a public high school before a football game, and they want to do a baptism ceremony? That's ludicrous. I mean, imagine for a second that that non-religious people just said, hey, we're going to do an atheistic ceremony beforehand. Before we play, we all get together in a classroom inside the school, and we watch clips of Richard Dawkins debating people. It's a team exercise. Hey, if you want to back out, it's totally cool, but you probably should come because a lot of us are going to be there, and it's, you know, we're a team, guys. You know what I'm saying? You might want to work together here. What would their response be? Imagine how they'd speak about that on Fox News. What would Elizabeth Hasselbeck say if they were like, oh, my God, they're shoving atheist propaganda down their throats. This is a public school. They should be neutral. What's wrong with them? Imagine it was a Muslim prayer session. No big deal, guys. I know we're a public school and stuff, but before the football game, everybody just come on over a little earlier, and we got some prayer rugs here. You wash your feet, and we'll say our prayers together, Muslim prayers, of course, and Imam will be there with us, and then we play football. Now, if you don't want to join us, fine, it's optional, but I'm just saying you should probably come because we're a team, and teams do things together, and then we're going to play the game, and it's good for building morale together. How would she respond? You know how she... Sharia law has taken over America. You know that that's what would happen. 100%. No question about it. So, I mean, I guess this is the first time I'll ever say this. Probably the last time. Credit to Brian Kilmeade for somewhat disagreeing with the idiots there. But it shows you how far gone somebody like Hasselbeck is. Because you heard her at the end. She's like, what are you going to do? Get mad because your kid loves God and wants to help people? Right, because that's what out of your love of God, that's what happens too, Elizabeth, right? That's why you've always argued for immigration reform, because you want to treat people good, you want to help people. So when people come in this country, you don't say, let's kick them out. What you say is, hey, let's give them jobs, let's give them a social safety net, let's give them $15 an hour. That's what you say, right? Again, you said my love of God leads me to help people. Okay, so you want to raise the minimum wage, right? You want universal health care for everybody, because they're all God's children. You got to help people, you got to treat them right. You want to not do unnecessary wars and kill people for no goddamn reason because your love of God leads you to help people. Is that correct? Your arguments are so ridiculous that at face value I reject them. And on top of it, you're clearly a hypocrite. Okay. Let's take a break. When we come back, we will get into, I got a lot more Christian nonsense. We got a Texas sheriff who says you better obey the police or else God will judge you. A judge is refusing a divorce because of religion. I mean, the list goes on and on. Mike Huckabee talks about abortion, and I think you know how that goes. It's spoiler alert, not good. What else I got for you? A little bit of Pat Robertson sprinkled in there. You know how we do it. All right, stay right there, guys. We'll be right back. Blog Talk Radio, Secular Talk Radio, Kyle Kliske Show.
No, you've never heard this before. Trapaholics.
Oh, my God, bass guy. You can fuck my bitch, bass guy. You swag to the maximum. Swag on 100,000, 100 trillion. Oh, goddamn, bass guy. How do I buy my car? Then I
drop
my roof.
Then
I
white
my
suit.
That's just how I do. Then I park my car. Then I fuck your bitch. Eat that white my suit.
Damn, where'd you find this?
I love my car. Then I drop my roof. Swear like white my suit. That's just how I do. Then I park my car. Then I fuck your bitch. Eat that white my suit. Swear like white my suit.
You ain't no
PK. Like any way,
right.
Young bass guy, and I've been doing my thing. Take my shirt off, and the girls go insane. Four diamond rings, two big ass chains. Eat that watch out, too. I got the cash like Chang Chang Chang. Bitches suck my dick because I come like 36 ways. AK-47, leave that bitch with no fucking name.
No fucking
got
name.
My main bitch, and she stay give me brain.
Right.
Put a bitch to shame. Violate that brain. Young brain got on my bitch like I'm cocaine.
Right.
Bitches know my range.
Right.
That crap, I like my chain. Found a dope man, I ride that bitch like Ace of Spades. Hold on, play that game.
Game.
I'm rapping out for the pain.
Pain.
I almost went to jail for like 500 days. Bitch, don't get no fuck, that's why I fucked her in the face.
In the face.
Sucker's hand, then I asked her what's her name. Bass guy. Talk about my cross. Then I drop my roof. Feel like white on shoes. That's just how I do. Then I park my car. Then I fuck your bitch. Eat that white on shoes. Feel like white on shoes. Pop up on my car. Then I drop my roof. Swear like white on shoes. That's just how I do. Then I park my car. Then I fuck your bitch. Eat that one time too. Where's like one time too? Suckers stay talking on the minute they
comment. Right.
Mad cause I'm most wanted. Like Osama.
Right.
You haters don't got no felony. Young bass guy flex 10 arm robbery.
Right.
Young bass guy been breaking and entering. Young bass guy ride hot when you bought it.
You bought
it. On my dick on that coat like Spalding. Bitches suck my dick cause I look like J.K. Rowling. Jerry pop my bitch, I put my whole heart brain is lost. But my damn rain, bitch, I'm paying what it cost. Jewelry is awesome. Bass God is gorgeous. Going down to Georgia to fuck my dick, bitch. Main fucker cause she gorgeous. Young bass God stay posted in the forest. Put my main bitch and I dumped her in the forest.
You niggas know I got money, bitch. $100 bass guy, nigga.
Pop up on my car. Then I drop my roof. Play like white on shoes. That's just how I do. Then I park my car. Then I fuck your bitch. Eat that white on shoes. Play like white on shoes. Pop up on my car. Then I drop my roof. Play like white on shoes. That's just how I do. Then I park my car. Then I fuck your bitch.
Alright, I did such a classic Kyle move. You know what that move was? I, shit.
Sorry, my mic's getting all fucked up here.
Scheduled 12 stories for today, like a normal day, and I'm looking through all my stuff now. I have 11. I have no clue what the 12th one was. Oh, wait. Oh, I found it. Oh, the pages were stuck together. I'm so stupid. Oh, no, I didn't find it. Fuck me. Oh, whatever. No big deal. We'll still have plenty of material here to get through, but I'm pissed. I wish I knew. I don't even know what it was. Like, I have no clue what the 12th story was. There's no fucking trace of it because I X'd everything out. Whatever. All right. No big deal. I'm sure I'll come across whatever story it was, and then we'll have it for you tomorrow. Texas Sheriff Randy Meeks, or as I like to call him, Sheriff Numbnuts, got pretty mad at police critics and lashed out at them in an adorable way. So Raw Story reports on this. They say, quote, Randy Meeks, the Hunt County Sheriff, published an editorial in the local Herald Banner citing Bible verses to argue that police officers are tasked with enforcing law and order for a godly nation. So he wrote the article because days earlier, one of his deputies was cleared of beating a pregnant Air Force veteran during a domestic dispute. So, in other words, there was a domestic dispute happening, the police officer shows up, and then somehow ends up beating up a pregnant veteran. Cleared, okay, so not necessarily any wrongdoing here, and to be honest, I don't know the facts of that case, but this guy's so outraged by the fact that we even dared to hear it out in court that he's like, oh, you have to let cops get away with anything they want to do because of God. If you think I'm exaggerating, let me give you some of his quotes. Here's what he said. Due to recent events, I can no longer be silent concerning what our country allows. It is amazing to me that the criminals who break into our homes and steal from us, those who sell drugs to our children, those who abuse innocent and defenseless children, those who rape our wives and daughters, those who commit cold-blooded murders, are all innocent until proven guilty. Pause. So you're lamenting that America is America. You're lamenting that we believe in due process and the Constitution and rights. You're lamenting innocent until proven guilty. Cornerstone of civilized society. So what do you want to do? Get rid of innocent until proven guilty. Whoever the emperor says is guilty, throw him in jail or kill him. Behead him. Do something like that. That's what you want to do? You want to go back to those days? You know what happened in those days, right? Whoever the people in power disagreed with, whoever rubbed them the wrong way, they would abuse their power and throw them in jail for political reasons, throw them in jail for any reason whatsoever, or execute them for whatever reason. You know, we have dictators still in the world today. You think that their justice systems are good? No, oftentimes what do? They crack down on the press. For fuck's sake, look at Turkey. Turkey's not even a dictatorship on paper, but you have Erdogan like, I don't like the vice reporters, lock them up. So you want to go back to that, not innocent until proven guilty. You say, hey, yeah, whatever the people in power want. What an idiot. He continues. Yet law enforcement officers are found guilty as soon as it appears that the officer has done something wrong, way before the whole incident can be reviewed and the truth obtained. That officer is found guilty and nobody cares what the facts are. This, folks, is a travesty. Pause again. What are you talking about? The incident that you were mad at, which led you to write this piece, the officer's cleared. He's free. He's like, they always find police guilty and they don't give them a trial. Number one, they do give them trials. Number two, they get off more than other people do. What are you crazy? In fact, the problem is exactly the opposite, because we have an issue today where when a cop does something wrong, we don't have a system set up where there's an independent prosecutor who gathers facts and then goes after that officer who allegedly did something wrong. We have a system set up where that police officer's buddy, the prosecutor, who he normally does business with, who he normally works with, now that guy who knows him and his family, that guy's got to prosecute the guy who he had dinner with a couple times. That's not going to happen. And we've seen it rigged time and time again as a result of that. The problem is the polar opposite of what this guy's saying. He's just making it up. He's like, there is no due process for police officers. We just lock them all up. But we don't. All right, he says, guess where the authority comes from to law enforcement? It comes from God. Read Romans 13:1 in the Bible. And while you're at it, you folks in Ferguson, Baltimore, Arlington, Arlington and here, take a gander at Romans 13:2. And then this is what the Bible verses say. First one is, everyone must submit to governing authorities, for all authority comes from God, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. All right, pause. That's the first Bible verse. Now, his argument is, shut up, do whatever the cops want, no matter what, because God gave them the positions of power. So what happens when a cop, as we've covered stories on the show in the past, what happens when a cop rapes a poor woman who was pulled over for a traffic violation? Come on, listen to the cop, listen to the cop. Now, in that case, he would say, come on, that's wild, you can't allow that. But then don't quote this fucking Bible verse. Why would you quote this? It's crazy. People have been placed in position of authority by God. That's what that Bible verse says. So all authority, by definition, is correct. So when you, let's say you were, a child in Germany in 1940. Mein Führer, I must listen to you. That's a terrible German accent. Your authority, you must be right. You're saying it, not me. I'm not saying it. You quoted a Bible verse that says, and those in positions of authority have been placed there by God. Authority, by definition, is correct, which means you, by definition, are an authoritarian. And how about this little piece of irony? So you say those in authority are placed there by God. You can't criticize them. You can't criticize them. Okay, so, you know, you get to do whatever the fuck you want as a police officer and fuck everybody's life over. Fine. But then don't you have to listen to President Obama? Oh, now you want to pump your brakes on it. Now this conservative dingbat goes, oh, did I say people in positions of authority you have to listen to? I mean only the ones I pick and choose myself. So then you don't even believe in that dumbass fucking Bible verse. Spare me. You're such an idiot. A guy like this, man, you're just a joke. You're not a deep thinker. You're the kind of person who you know, lives your life based on some fucking ridiculous cherry-picked Bible verses that your mommy taught you when you were sucking on her titty to get milk. And you're like, oh, I have it all figured out because the Bible in this one part says this thing right here. What about the other parts? What about the part where Jesus talks about how rich people are evil and they can't get into heaven no matter what? What about all the parts of the Bible that are pro-immigration? Are you pro-immigration? Do you want to do amnesty and open the borders and treat every immigrant just like they're your neighbor? Is that what you want to do? You don't. You don't. All right, now, let me give you the second Bible verse here. So anyone who rebels against authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and they will be punished. So it's the same theme. And then finally, I'll leave you with this. The sheriff closed his editorial by encouraging law enforcement officers to hang in there and continue doing their jobs to the best of their ability, in spite of the ignorance, quote, ignorance of some people. So this guy does an entire article where he says, all my authority comes from God. If you disagree with me, you're disagreeing with God. And then at the end of it, he says, hang in there, cops. There's a lot of ignorant people out there. Well, you're right. There are a lot of ignorant people out there. It starts with the one in the mirror. All right. Oh, okay. All right, we got another idiot. You like my teasers for my stories? A local judge in Tennessee refused to grant a divorce to a straight married couple, citing gay marriage as the reason why. It's at the point where the far right doesn't even try to make sense. They don't even try to make sense. Like, I don't know, you allowed gays to get married, so let's not allow divorces. However, they're trying to just disrupt the system as much as possible now because they think the system is illegitimate because we are now allowing gay people to get married. They're like children, spoiled children. All right, Raw Story reports the following. Hamilton County Chancellor Jeffrey Atherton denied the divorce petition last week, saying that the Supreme Court decision on same-sex marriage made it impossible for the state of Tennessee to determine what constitutes divorce. Oh, I see what angle they're coming from. In fact, here's what he said. Quote, with the U.S. Supreme Court having defined what must be recognized as a marriage, it would appear the Tennessee judiciary must now await the decision of the U.S. Supreme Court as to what is not a marriage, or better stated, when a marriage is no longer a marriage. So do you see what he's doing there? He thinks it's a gotcha moment. He's like, well, you know, the states can't determine what kind of marriage they want no more, so I guess we can't determine whether or not we allow divorce no more neither. Yeah, I got him. I got him, Paul. You think this is a winning argument? You think this is intelligent? You think this is a gotcha moment? It makes you look like an idiot. Because he's saying, oh, the big bad federal government, the big bad Supreme Court told us in our state we can't ban gay marriages, so I guess all of our authority must be turned over to the federal government, and who am I to grant you a divorce? Go ask the feds for a divorce. There's only one problem with what you're saying, slapstick. The federal government is okay with divorce. It already exists. They already accept it. It's a settled fucking issue. So he's just bringing up old shit to be like, ah, now I can't make a decision because of the gays. Why not go a step further, man? Next time somebody comes, a black and white couple, and they want to get married, you want to play this game? Play this game, dog. See, people aren't as outraged about it right now because it's divorce. I mean, it's fucked up and it's weird, but it's just not getting national coverage. Go ahead, deny a black person and a white person a marriage and make the same argument. You know, it's not that I'm racist. I'm just saying, who are we to decide in the state? Go ask the feds. You know why this is beyond stupid? Here's the answer from the feds. Yeah, you have to do that. Whether it's an interracial couple, or in this case it's a divorce, they've already said, yeah, you have to do that. And if you ask them again, they go, yeah, do it. But see, and then what will guys like this do? They'll still refuse to do it. But, oh, well, golly, I'm still not going to do it. All right, then just admit you're an idiot and you're a bigot, and that's what this all comes down to. Just admit it. Just say, I hate gay people, so I'm just going to throw a fucking fit over here, throw a tantrum like a baby, and hope that, you know, the country changes because I'm so mad. Why can't I continue to discriminate against different segments of the population? It's so funny, but also depressing, when you see people who are convinced that they're like the next Martin Luther King or the next Rosa Parks, and meanwhile, they're the opposite. They're the people who, there's a great tweet, I wish I could give credit, I don't know who said it though, somebody else retweeted it on my line, where somebody spoke about how Kim Davis, the person who recently denied gay marriage again to a gay couple, even though she's mandated by the Supreme Court to do it, the tweet said she thinks she's Rosa Parks, but what she really is the angry old white woman in the front of the bus yelling at Rosa Parks to get to the back of the bus. That's true. That's absolutely correct. She is the equivalent of that person today. Today, what would that person be doing? They'd be saying, I'm still not going to let these gays get married. They need to know their place. Back then, they'd say, you know, these N-words need to know their place. Get to the back of the bus. I don't know how they've twisted it so much in their mind where they're convinced they're the good guys and the other side is the bad guys. Do you not have basic reasoning abilities, basic logical abilities to look into this and go, oh, wait, I see the dynamic here. Discrimination against blacks, discrimination against gays got resolved. The people who were pro-civil rights were right. Today, the people who are pro-LGBT rights are right. No, no. And then meanwhile, again, the irony is Kim Davis was married 4 times. They think they're taking a moral stand. Guys, you're pathetic. You're an embarrassment not only to yourselves, not only to your states, but to the United States of America. If you're going to act like this, do yourself a favor, do us all a favor, voluntarily step down and find a job where you'll actually be willing to do your goddamn job. All right. Now, we're going to go to Pat Robertson. And actually, we come right back to this Kim Davis issue. Pat Robertson is going to talk about the Kim Davis situation in Kentucky. She's, of course, the 4 times married woman who denied gays a marriage license because God would be angry if they got married. Somehow God's not angry about your 4 marriages. By the way, she also had one of those kids with a different husband who she wasn't married to at the time. She fucked that guy when she was in that marriage, but and had the kid of the other guy who she then later on married and divorced. very moral person, as you can see here. So she's making judgments on gay people. And Pat Robertson saw this story, and guess which side he comes out on?
Constitution says the supreme law of the land is the Constitution. Duly ratified treaties and laws passed by the Congress and signed into law by the President. That's the law. Judicial decisions do not constitute the law, and you're not obligated to do that. So this whole thing is putting her in jail and so forth is nonsense. But it'll happen, and it's just the beginning. It's the warm-up of this battle. And I want you to know right now, you've heard it here, the gays do not just want to be recognized. They do not want to be accepted. They do not want to have just freedom. They want everybody to agree with them, and everybody who doesn't agree with them and does not comport with their way of thinking, they want to be punished, put in jail, or fined. That's the way they want it.
Nonsense. Not a single gay person, not a single LGBT activist or liberal has said, you have to, by law, agree with us. If you disagree with us, you're going in jail, going to jail. It only becomes an issue when what happens? When they actively take their personal opinion and turn that into denying in real life other people their rights. That's when it becomes a problem. So by the same token, look at racism. Is it illegal? Is it against the law to be a racist? Of course it's not against the law. We don't have thought crime divisions. But would it be against the law if people come into a government building, a black person and a white person, they want to get married, they come into a government building, they ask for a license, and the person says, because of my beliefs, I will not give you that license. Well, yeah, we have laws that say you cannot deny marriages to interracial couples because you feel like it. Since that law is on the books, if a person doesn't do their job, yeah, they're either going to get fired or they're going to get fucking fined or they're going to get thrown in jail, depending on how many times they do it and just how bad, just how deep it went in terms of how much they violated the law. It makes perfect fucking sense. When he says, oh my God, they're going to lock up Christians, they're going to lock up people that disagree, that's totally and utterly made up. It only becomes a problem when you take away other people's rights because you have a differing opinion. I mean, think about how insane that is, man. Think about how he's twisted the story, twisted the situation to say Kim Davis is the victim. The victim is the person that wouldn't marry a gay couple when the law says that gay couples are allowed to get married. How is that the victim? So back in the day when we just got interracial marriage, if somebody denied that, the victim would not be the gay couple which had their marriage denied. It would be the person who denied the gay couple their rights. I say it every day on the show, and I'm going to continue to say it every day because I think it's totally true and it's an easy way to frame it. People like Pat Robertson, they think that they have a right to take away your rights. That's what they define as their rights. And that's very similar. In fact, it's exactly like what people in the South used to do in the really bad old days, whether you go back to segregation, whether you go all the way back to slavery. What did they say? The South argued that the North was taking away their rights for them to own black people. So they didn't view it as, I am taking away rights as a slave owner from an individual here, I have taken all the rights away from a black person. They didn't look at it like that. They said, no, by definition, they are property, and if the North tells me I can't own humans, they're taking away my rights. You see this perverted sense of morality, this view of justice and liberties? They basically take whatever their bias is, whatever their prejudice is, and they say, this is my right to enact it in the real world. Again, nobody's going to say you're not allowed to be a racist. You're not allowed to be a homophobe. Of course, we're not going to lock up everybody who has negative feelings, you know, towards people they don't like. You're allowed to be that. The only problem comes about when you decide that you are going to prevent somebody's marriage when they have a right to get married, take away somebody's rights when they have a right to be a free person, so on and so forth. So spare me, man. Do I have any sympathy for Kim Davis? Fuck no. She's married 4 times. She violated biblical law time and time and time again. And then when gays come to get married and she has to do her job and give them a license, she says, biblical law. God says I can't do it, so I'm not going to do it. Sorry. get out of here. Well, you just quite literally didn't give them their rights, didn't give them what they can have and should have by law. So, yeah, you know, you need to suffer the consequences. You need to either lose that job or get fined or get put in jail. And maybe then you will learn, hey, if I want to be hired at a certain place, I got to fucking do the job that they lay out for me, and I can under no circumstances take away people's rights from them. All right. Got two more stories left here. Maybe we'll finish a minute or two early. It should be a secular talk record. Let's go to Mike Huckabee. Mike Huckabee did some sort of Google Hangout for his campaign. It looks like there are six people who showed up for it. He's going to lay out his abortion plan here. Check it out.
As it relates to what could we do, well, I'd say if I were president, there's two things I could do. One is to make sure I had an attorney general that would criminally prosecute Planned Parenthood clinics that are violating federal law by selling body parts of human beings.
But they're not doing that.
That would get someone's attention. And as far as how to get through to the money, the president could also instruct the Internal Revenue Service through the Treasury Department to conduct a full audit of any of the tax dollars that are given to Planned Parenthood to see exactly how they're spent and to make sure that they are not being used for abortion. Now, again, to me, those are secondary issues. I still think that the bolder and more important and more urgent position is to invoke the constitutional rights of the unborn, recognizing them as persons, expecting lawsuits, expecting extraordinary pushback and, goodness, perhaps riots in the street. But I think we've tinkered around the edges so long that we've failed to go back to the original purpose of the Bill of Rights, and we have simply not applied it. And frankly, I don't know of any of us who are pro-lifers who would argue, well, that's really not a person. So the question is, do we believe that the unborn child is a person? If we do, then we ought to act like that as a person and give them the protections that they are due under the Constitution.
Yeah, so Mike Huckabee has become probably the most extreme candidate on the issue of abortion. Listen to what he said there, because this is actually dangerous. He said we should invoke the constitutional rights of the unborn and recognize them as persons. We should invoke the constitutional rights of the unborn and recognize them as persons. The only problem with that, Mike, is that we already had that debate. We already had that discussion. We already took that through the legal system, through the judicial system, and they made their mind up. And what they said in Roe versus Wade is it's a mixed issue. So the way it works is they split it up back then into trimesters. They said first and second trimester, you get to do whatever you want. If you're the woman, after that, okay, this, you know, the government can limit it in the different states however they deem appropriate. Now, after that, there's been some abortion cases. We have a new standard, not the trimester standard, but it's a fetal viability standard where it's slightly more accurate in that they say, hey, viability happens around 22 weeks. Here's the way you can regulate it. There's some things you cannot do, you cannot limit, you have a right to an abortion up to a certain point. After that, hey, the states can regulate them however they deem fitting. Mike Huckabee looks at all the case history and he goes, don't care. Don't care. I would invoke the constitutional rights of the unborn and recognize them as persons. In other words, I, the president, would overturn the Supreme Court like this because I happen to disagree with the Supreme Court. Well, okay, Mike, then you're not running for president of the United States. You're running for dictator of the United States. You're running for tyrant of the United States. You're running for fascist leader of the United States. You're running for Mein Führer of the United States. If you get to make all decisions and you don't give a shit about checks and balances, well, then admit that you don't believe in the American system that we've set up here. But you wouldn't admit that. You would pretend to believe in America while at the same time going against the very fundamental practice in our government of checks and balances. And he said we should criminally prosecute Planned Parenthood for, quote, selling body parts. Again, Mike, there's a big problem with your argument here. They didn't do that. See, what they did is people went in there pretending that they were researchers and scientists, like they wanted to cure diseases with fetal tissue. And then when they discussed money, when you see the full unedited version without the scary music, you learn that they're talking about transportation costs. It's pretty expensive to transport fucking fetal tissue to keep it fresh enough in order to do research with it to try to cure diseases. So when they talk about money, all they're saying is, hey, us as Planned Parenthood, we cannot make a profit off this, nor should we, because that would set up a perverse incentive. So we're only giving this to researchers, and they have to pay for the transportation costs, and that's the end of it. But again, the group went into this pretending to be medical from day one and trying to bring down Planned Parenthood from day one, so it's a total hack job, but he falls for it hook, line, and sinker, and he's like, well, they're selling body parts. But they're not. That's a bullshit claim, yet you keep repeating it. Every fact checker who looked into this said the same thing. That's not true. They're not doing that. But then again, I don't even think it matters, because even if Mike Huckabee knew the facts, he still would repeat that they're selling body parts, because he's working backwards from his conclusion. His conclusion is abortion is wrong no matter what. So if I have to muddle the facts, well, the ends justify the means because I want to get rid of abortion. So what if I lie about what Planned Parenthood is actually doing? And finally, he just said, well, if there are riots in the streets, I don't care. Well, thank you for, again, letting us know how you would be as president. You don't give a fuck about the democratic will of the people. The overwhelming majority of the American people are in favor of abortion in some circumstances. He doesn't care. Outlaw all abortion. I don't care about democracy. I don't care if people riot. Why? Because I'm Mike Huckabee, and I would rather be a dictator than be a president, and I still want your vote, even though I'm telling you I'm not going to listen to you, American people. Well, I will not be upset when you lose, Mike. All right, and finally, I don't even fucking have time for this. I'm so dumb. I'm going to do it anyway, and I'm going to go over, but whatever. I got to do it. Glenn Beck is going to go on an incoherent rant here where he links 13 different issues into his main thesis, which is that we're all doomed. Let's watch.
We're done. I want you to understand. We're done as a nation. When Mitch McConnell says, now is not the time to end abortion, we're done as a nation. We're not going to get any more warnings on this. Evil is rampaging right now. It is beyond anything that I have ever seen anywhere in my life. And if you think it's going to stay put, if you think it's not going to grow, if you think this is as bad as it could get, you are sadly mistaken. And when our government says, you know what, next week we're going to go with Iran, we're not going to go with Israel, we're not going to go with common sense, we're going to allow Iran to have a nuclear weapon.
Made up.
When their mullahs and their clerics and the Ayatollah has said, it is time to stop just speaking words. It is time to put our words into action with the great Satan and the little Satan. If you think that this is going to stay the way it is, you're sadly mistaken. If you think that all of our streets and all of our policemen, all of our towns aren't going to see protesters and more killings, if you think this is just going to be relegated to the Baltimores and the Fergusons of the world, you're sadly mistaken. If you think that this is as hard as it gets with the attacks on Christianity, and this is as hard as I've ever seen it in standing up and saying that you're a Christian, if you think this is it, you're sadly mistaken. If you think our kids are in school right now, and this is as bad as it's going to get, this is as crazy as it's going to get, where boys who identify themselves as girls, no sex change, no nothing, they just identify themselves as girls, can now go into a girl's bathroom and turn a school completely upside down, and they have the right to do it, and all of the experts come out and say, how dare you even question his feelings? If you think this is as bad as it's going to get, you're sadly mistaken. We are a nation hell-bent on our own destruction. God's not going to punish us. I saw in the New York Post, Glenn Beck is again with his apocalyptic preaching. I'm not preaching to you, and I'm not apocalyptic. We are suicidal. And all I'm doing is telling you.
I'm not preaching, and I'm not apocalyptic. But we're suicidal, and we're all going to die. Okay, you were preaching, and this is apocalyptic. It's amazing. He can contradict himself in the same sentence in a 10-second time frame. And then if you call him out on it, he'll be like, oh, how dare you! He lives in a fact-free world. I think he might be losing it. There's two options. Either Glenn Beck is just completely, utterly acting like Sean Hannity, where it's all fake and he's playing a role, or the guy is a legitimate crazy person. That rant didn't even make sense. He went from evil is rampaging, evil is going to grow, to Iran, we're allowing Iran to have a nuclear weapon, even though the deal says the exact opposite. Don't take my word for it. Read the deal yourself. Then he went to there's going to be Christian persecution, again, totally made up. Complete horseshit. Then he goes to fuck trans people because they want to use the bathroom of what they feel like their gender is. He links this in with the downfall of America. What the fuck is wrong with you? And then he manages to go all the way back to we're hell-bent on our own destruction, and I'm not apocalyptic, but the apocalypse is coming. For a guy to be that disheveled and that out of whack, and for a guy to contradict himself that quickly... Again, I'm serious when I say he's either an actor and he's playing a role and, you know, he's just getting his paycheck and going home and it is what it is, or he really is off of his rocker and he really sees the world this way and he needs some sort of psychiatric help. But either way, he doesn't look good, and it scares me that anybody in America could listen to this guy and go, that guy's 100% right, I'm going to follow him. All right, love you guys. See you tomorrow. Peace.